G'day, ladies and gents. I'm just probably going to recap on some of the themes, just so you know that I agree or disagree with some of them from this morning, then perhaps give a bit of an indication as to the way I see rural fire services and in particular volunteer fire services moving in the future. A couple of recapping. Fire is elemental. I think that's come out very strongly today. However, there's a whole bunch of uncertainty around the frequency and the intensity of that fire, and there opens a great big door for policy debate. Fuel is at the core of our fire management problem. If you own the fuel, you must own part of the problem. Interesting that a number of the speakers this morning have talked about what I'd call the new era of land and resource management. And it's sad to see that in a number of these new era managers, which have a core focus for water or recreation or conservation, fire does seem to, in some cases, be relegated to a second or third or fourth order priority. As Phil Cheney really starkly indicated in his aerial photograph of the Woomera area, without people, fire is simply a natural event. Fire is simply a natural serial event in our landscape. However, you add people and there you've got a problem. And all of a sudden that natural event then develops into an emergency and people's perception of that emergency then increases. And the emergency is really dictated by the size and the length and the breadth of the interface between people and the fuel. It's my view that any person or agency who owns or manages natural resources on the landscape also owns the fire management problem. And fire management needs to be core to the way in which they deliver their business. In South Australia, for example, we have an agency called SA Water, who have gone through a number of evolutions. And there was a phase in SA Water about 10 years ago where catchment management wasn't considered one of the duties of SA Water. It was a byproduct. It was something to be put away and not resourced because it was someone else's problem. And the result is that fire management then becomes someone else's responsibility. And as Phil Cheney has said, in most states, the rural fire services or the emergency services have then taken up that cudgel because fire then becomes an emergency because no one else wants to deal with it. And in many states, the volunteers shoulder the bulk of the burden of managing that rural fire risk. And I need to recognise that volunteers do an absolutely fantastic job in every state and territory in Australia. But for these mega campaign fires, one has to question whether they are the best equipped. Is their training suitable and are they available to do the job? And quite clearly from the resource deficiencies we've seen, not only in the paid land management fire services, but also in the volunteer fire services, we run out of people very quickly. I don't think it's so much a matter of running out of volunteers. I'd put it to you that we don't have enough paid land management firefighters and we need to really take stock of what contingency resources we've got in our land management agencies for dealing with these peak events which will continue to occur. I'd like to pick up on a couple of comments made this morning. And the first, and I guess I'll pick up on Minister Abetz's comment about the feedback he's had in his recent tour around the landscape, and that's great that he's doing that. Sometimes, as the chief of the Rural Fire Service post-fire, I feel like it's a bit like a country football match. At three-quarter time, you're the coach, your team's 10 goals down, and everyone's round the boundary giving you advice. But no one actually wants to get into the coach's box. Having said that, though, we do need to re-engage with our country constituents. What are we doing about it in South Australia? We're actually dramatically looking at our training requirements to be a CFS member. We're looking at introducing a new category of member of community firefighter. We're looking at a farmer firefighter classification. So making it a lot easier, reducing the barriers of entry of these people into our rural fire service. I think we've got to do a lot more in managing community expectations and stimulate the public debate. I am concerned that so much of the public debate is about blame. Probably not for this forum, but one really needs to question whether the current coronial process, as it has been acted out and is being acted out in a number of territories, is actually achieving the best outcome for fire management and also for the community. What are we doing about it in South Australia? Well, we're rethinking our community engagement processes. We've certainly picked up on some lessons in Victoria about community engagement during the emergency, but we're also looking at our community engagement processes during the year in holistic catchment fire management planning, and it's my view that we need to report back to those local communities on an annual basis. Really engage with communities and stakeholders before the major fire occurs and discuss with them what you're doing and why you're doing it. Is there a role for the Commonwealth? It was interesting, had a quick discussion with John Hammer at morning tea time, and he talked about the development of a policy manual. I suppose my first comment was, I'll have a policy manual carried by the lawyer who's standing behind me. But I think we do need to discuss whether the Commonwealth does have a role in fire management and fire management policy. I look back a couple of years ago to the release of the Council Australian Government's report on bushfire mitigation and management. I see one of the co-authors, Peter Kanowski, there. And there must be a little bit of disappointment in Peter's mind as to where that report has gone and how readily it has been picked up. And I know there's a whole lot of processes which have been engaged on at both a national level and a state level. But how much has really changed on the ground? And I'll put it to you, this summit is an excellent way of revisiting the principles espoused in that COAG report, and this summit, it would be an excellent avenue for an ongoing public policy debate. And I, at this very early stage, propose that this summit reoccur at least every 2 years, or maybe every second year it could occur not in Canberra, but also in a number of the states and territories, so that we can really engage with a number of our stakeholders. Thank you very much.